We've been talking about studying the Scriptures, and we talked about studying to know who the Father is and studying to know who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is. We want to talk about tonight, we need to study to know who we are. And we, you know, sometimes we think, well, we know, I know who I am. We know what, all sorts of things about people. But the fact of the matter is, no matter how much we figure out about ourselves, God knew things about us that we could never have figured out about ourselves. And so we look at that tonight. Specifically tonight, we're going to look at who we are as human beings. You know, next time we'll look at who we are as Christians, because there's obviously is a difference. But we want to look tonight at who we are as human beings. And we'll try not to keep you too long. Seeing a small crowd tonight, and I'm reminded of the story of the preacher who preached out in the Midwest. My dad used to preach out in Colorado in the farming community, and winters were bad and the weather was harsh sometimes. And in this particular place, there was one Sunday that the weather was so bad, the snow was so deep, that the only person other than the preacher who made it to church was this old farmer that had a big old tractor, and he just drove to town in his tractor, and that he made it to church. And so he says, well, what shall we do? You and I are the only ones here. And he said, well, you know, if I go out to feed my cows and only one cow shows up, I still feed them. So the preacher said, all right. And so he preached, and oh, did he preach. And he preached for an hour. And after he finished, and the fellow came out talking in the back, and he said, well, what'd you think? And he said, well, brother, when that one cow shows up, I don't dump the whole load on him. So I'll try not to dump the whole load on you tonight. But I do want us to think about who we are as human beings and what the Bible tells us about who we are. And perhaps some of these things we know, but I wanted to put them all together for us, kind of encapsulate the idea for us. First of all, we are created in God's image. We are His offspring. In that respect, all mankind are brethren. Everyone that we run across is a brother or sister by the fact that we are created by God. We are His offspring. Genesis 1:26 and 27, of course, God said, let us make man in our image. And right there, we see the idea of the three in one. That verse we sang in that song a minute ago, it said the one in three is what it said. One in three. That's odd. That threw me for a loop for a second. I was like, one in three? Three in one is the way we've always said that. But we see the idea of the multiplicity of the Godhead here in this phrase. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. And then in Acts 17, verses 28 through 29, Paul quotes one of the poets, of the Greek world. And he says, for in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, we are His offspring. For as much then as we're the offspring of God, we should not think that the Godhead is like gold or silver or stone graven by men's devices and artistry. So we're not to think of God in that way, but we are His offspring. And that tells us something about God, even though He's certainly not just like us. We are sprung from Him. But we see that we are created in His image and we are His offspring. The second thing we want to notice is that we are lower than the angels. Of course, in our study on Wednesday night, we talked about how angels are greater in might and power than we are. Angels are mentioned in Hebrews 2, verses 6 through 8. In one certain place, He testified, saying, what is man that You are mindful of him, or the son of man that You visit him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and did set him over the works of your hands. That sounds a lot like what we just read in Genesis 1, doesn't it? You set him over the works of your hands. And we'll talk about that a little more in a moment as well. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that part, he put all in subjection under him. Now here we think about this is mankind in a general sense. Specifically though, the prophecy was about the Son of Man, Christ. But that's when he became human. He became lower than the angels because as human beings, we're all lower than the angels. Jesus, of course, was not lower than the angels until he became the Son of Man. And so he talks about it there. And then we see that we are stewards over the earth. It's our responsibility to care for the rest of God's creation. Sometimes we kind of fail at that one miserably, don't we? We don't take good care of the things around us. I was noticing a week or so back the report from the sheriff's department that they had picked up 13,000 pounds plus, somewhere over 13,000 pounds of trash off the sides of our roads in Fannin County. People aren't taking care of God's creation if they're throwing that's 6.5 tons of trash. They're just thrown out on the side of the road. And I see it, when they have the inmates out there picking up the trash and you see just bag, bag, bag. Every 30 yards it seems like there's a bag of trash. You think, there's so much trash that just got thrown out. And more than just that, of course, it's our responsibility to do those things. Now that's not our first priority as Christians. We're certainly concerned with more spiritual things. But as human beings, we are stewards over the earth. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. In our own country, we've had a history of not caring for things. There are certain species that have been hunted to extinction so that they're not there anymore. And that's part of now, a lot of our forest and game and fish and wildlife, they keep up with, we want to keep those species going so that future generations will have those as well and be able to hunt those and eat those and enjoy those as well. That's a tricky thing sometimes. It's not always easy. But things like that have happened in our country's history. The buffalo that used to roam all through the Midwest, and then they just about wiped out. Very, very few were left. And still today, there are not a whole lot like there were once upon a time. They hunted all the wolves to near extinction in the Yellowstone area, and then they started to have some real problems because the deer and the elk began to overpopulate because that predator wasn't there for it. We don't always think about those things, but that's part of being the stewards over the earth. We have that responsibility as human beings and to care for it. And then we want to realize, of course, that as human beings, we are sinners in need of a Savior. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans 7 and verse 24, Paul says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Well, no one can deliver themselves. We all have sinned. We all have broken God's law. We all have failed. And we can't fix it ourselves. We need a Savior. Everyone, all of humanity, falls into that same category. And then we see that we are dust. The scripture that Xander read for us a couple moments ago. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. If we remember back to the story of Adam and Eve's creation, Adam's in particular, God took of the dust of the earth and formed man and then breathed into him the breath of life. We talked about that this morning in class in Ecclesiastes 12, that the body returns back to the dust. but the spirit returns to God who gave it. And so as human beings, the physical part of our being is dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourishes. The wind passes over it, and it's gone. And the place where it was shall know it no more. But we are just dust. And then we see that we are unclean. As humans, we are nothing like God in the sense of His purity. We are unclean. Isaiah 64 and verses 4 through 8, Isaiah says, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither has the eye seen, O God, beside you, what He has prepared for the one that waits for Him. You meet Him with rejoicing and working righteousness. Those that remember you in their way, in your ways, behold, you are angry, for we have sinned." Those is continuance. "And we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. There is none that calls on the Lord, on my name, that stirs up himself to take hold of you. For you have hid your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are the work of your hands." So again, he comes back around to that idea that we're created by God. We're made by Him. We're His clay. He's our Father. We are His creation and His descendant, His offspring. But we're the best that we can come up with, the most incredible righteousness that we could figure out and try to do on our own is like filthy rags. It's worthless. It's useless. You ever try to clean something with a filthy rag? And there have been times that, you know, especially out in the garage, and you get that old grease rag. You don't want to try to wash the car with that old grease rag. You'll wind up making that car worse than it was before. You'll wind up putting smears of grease all over it. You don't use that filthy rag to clean something. And so it is with us. That's where we are. That's who we are as human beings. And what's more, as human beings, we're dead spiritually. We cannot bring ourselves spiritual life. Colossians 2:13, "You, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh." Now he says, "Then He has quickened together with Him and forgiven you all your trespasses." So he tells us that there is, again, he's talking here to Christians. So as Christians, it's a different picture. It's a better story that we have. But still, as Christians even, what can we do that is righteous in God's eyes, that is impressive to Him, that would save us spiritually and bring us back from the dead? We can't. We can't do anything. Romans 7:24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" We read that a moment ago. He's talking about the pitiful condition that his soul is in, because he knows the good he should do and he doesn't do it, and he knows the bad thing he's not supposed to do and he does it anyway. And he said, "Who can save me from this situation? Can't save myself. None of us can." And I wish we could take the time to go on into the part about Christians, because this kind of a downer, isn't it? When we think about ourselves, who we are as human beings, we kind of started at the high note with being created in the image of God, and it's gone downhill from there. But isn't that human history? You start with Adam and Eve, perfect, sinless, in a garden paradise, walking and talking with the Lord, and then it goes downhill from there. And the rest of human history, humanity has not attained to that again. Certain individuals certainly have reached through Christ to be Christians, but we'll never as a whole human race ever reach that again. In Psalm 144 in verses 3 through 4, we see that we are as a shadow. Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you make account of him? Man is like to vanity. Remember, we talked about vanity the last couple of weeks in our Sunday morning class. Vanity is emptiness, worthlessness, uselessness, meaninglessness. And the psalmist said, yeah, that's man. He is like to vanity. He's just useless and worthless and doesn't accomplish anything for you, God. Why'd you even bother to think about him? Why would you do it? His days are as a shadow that passes away. Job said that our days pass faster than the weaver's shuttle. If you ever have seen the weaver's shuttle going back and forth. Kind of course, nowadays we have the sewing machine. I think about how fast that needle goes up and down sometimes. That thing moves so fast, you can't even hardly see it. It's going so fast, you know, when it's really going. And yet, these are the kinds of pictures. James says that we are as a vapor. You know, you ever watch that teapot as it's tea kettle as it's boiling, and the steam comes out, and within just 3 or 4 inches of the spout, it begins to dissipate to nothing, and it disappears. And it's gone. James says, that's us. Nothing to us. Nothing real. No real substance. It just... And of course, I guess to some degree you could say that there is some substance there, because you hold your hand up there to that steam, you'll burn it right quick. You know, you get that steam burn, that vapor burn. That's rough stuff. And human beings are good at burning each other too. We're really good at burning one another. And then I want to finish with, as human beings, we're dying physically. From the day we're born, we're dying. Oh yes, we may grow and get stronger and bigger, but we're headed toward death. Every one of us. As far as we know, the Scriptures tell us of only two people who ever escaped death, Enoch and Elijah. And for those two that escaped death, there were others who were raised from the dead and had to die again. So the percentage on dying as a human being is a little over 100%. There's just a little bit more than 100% on the average. Now, unless you were Elijah or Enoch, you can count on that. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all sinned. And again, Romans 7:24 reminds us, this body, the body of this death, it's the body that's bringing our death about. Our spirit will not die. James says that as the body without the spirit is dead. He doesn't say the spirit is dead without the body. It's not. It still lives on. But the body dies, and it returns to that dust state that it is. Certainly a sad situation. Even though we were created in God's image and were His offspring, and even though we were created just a little lower than the angels, and we're intended to be the stewards over the earth, we find ourselves instead as sinners in need of a Savior. We're dust. We're unclean. We're spiritually dead. We're just a shadow, a vapor. Our life is passing away. We are dying physically. And we all find ourselves in that state. But next time we'll see. And that doesn't have to be the end of the story. As Paul Harvey said, the rest of the story awaits. What about as Christians? We have a much better outlook on our future. We still look back to this same human past, but we have a much better outlook toward our future. I promised I wouldn't keep you too long tonight. I'll give you back a few minutes from this morning, and maybe we can get out before the heavens break loose and rain and hail and who knows what comes falling from the sky up there. If you are here tonight and you need to respond, perhaps you recognize your condition as a human being is not what it ought to be. Even though you were created in the image of God, you're not living by His standards. You're not living according to His will. If you have a need to respond to God's invitation in any way tonight, please do so as we stand and as we sing.